Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. The big news stories, of course, remain the gates of hell. The gates of hell, that's the Harvard professor who wears his racism on his sleeve and was enraged at the police going in and checking on his house. Well, it's a rented house, right? It was a rented house. And now a police officer, a black police officer from Cambridge, she says, I voted for Obama, which shows right there that she's fundamentally wicked. But she said, I voted for Obama and I will not again. Because of his knee-jerk reaction of calling this officer a racist, which of course is horrendous, but Obama does seem to be, as Rush Limbaugh has called him, an angry black male. And he does seem to be that. Look who he has appointed to be his science czar, John Holdren. I mean, you want to talk about angry and evil? Now, we know all the liberals and, you know, most of the Republican national candidates are pro-choice, maybe with some exceptions. But you talk about babies after they're born. John Holdren, Obama's science czar, has written that it's not even a baby after it's born. It depends on its socialization, and it depends on what kind of food you give it, whether or not it will become a baby after it's born. So we've got incredible wickedness in the White House. But why is it that Democrats, over and over and over, why is it that Democrats succeed so often in such a big way? Well, one reason, of course, there are many reasons, but one reason is because Christians do not honor God by standing up for what is right. And so Christians begin to support people who are immoral. And then some who go to church regularly, who may even be Christians, they say, well, you support that Republican and he's pro-choice and Obama's pro-choice. So they're just different pro-choice. So how can you tell me that I'm evil for supporting Obama? And we had one Christian leader who was sort of looking back nostalgically on the days when they were fighting Hillary Clinton. And he was saying, oh, that we were fighting Hillary again because Obama's worse than Hillary. And what's so funny about this, at Bob Enyart Live, we've pointed out over the years that our Christian leaders, they would support Hillary. They'd say, vote for Hillary, give money to Hillary, lobby for Hillary, campaign for Hillary. If you got a boogeyman who's scarier than Hillary, they'd support Hillary. And they would also support Barack Obama if you found somebody scarier than Obama. So if your standard is not righteousness, if your standard is evil, then there is no bottom to that abyss. And so now we have Barack Obama, and it's partly because Christians don't know what's right any longer. They don't stand for what is right. We'll go to the phones, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So the gates of hell, a Harvard professor, who would have thunk it? Let's go to Pueblo. Mike, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hey, good afternoon, Bob.
Hi, sir.
You know, I just wanted to make a quick comment on the other, well, not the other side of the issue, but the other side of what I'm getting. You're basically saying that this black guy was upset because the cops came to his house. He was upset because the cops asked him for ID in his own home. And if that doesn't upset an American, then you don't know what the Fourth Amendment says, and you probably don't know what the rest of the Constitution says.
All right, so let's talk that through, Mike. Let's talk it through. And as far as how the situation was set up, right, you know that the neighbor called 911, and she didn't say there were two black guys breaking into the house, right? The media reported that. That was the media, whatever happens, the media, when they type on their keyboards, they type out the cliches that they assume happen. So the
I'm calling to defend this guy, but I'm calling to defend.
Well,
this,
yeah, let's
Americans
talk through, Mike. I'll talk through it. I'll give you your chance to make your point. But so the neighbor called the police and said, "I just saw two guys breaking into my neighbor's house." And so the police got there, and they go in. And so you're saying that when the police find someone in the house, they should automatically believe the person? Because okay, let's say it was a criminal, and the criminal has the dad tied up in the basement.
Did you put me on hold?
No, I didn't.
Okay. No, I didn't hear your call because I thought you basically had muted me.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. Mike, let me repeat my question, and then you answer it, and we'll continue. So the police get called to a home where a neighbor thinks there's a burglary in progress. And so they go in. And you're saying when they meet someone inside the house, they have to immediately accept and believe what that person tells them. And I'm saying that that might be a criminal who has killed the dad or has the mom tied up in a bedroom. And so when there's been a report of a crime and they get there, looks like the door's busted in, the police have reason to ask, "Who are you?" And a rapist would say, "I live here. Get out of my house." That's what a rapist would say. So how could you say that the police are doing something wrong? I don't understand that. We lost Mike. Mike? All right. It could be, Mike, it could be that you realized you can't answer that question. You hung up on us. We didn't hang up on you. Our number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Mike, you're welcome to call back. Or someone else who would like to fill in for Mike and realize that when the police are called because there's a suspicion of a crime, they do have the authority, not only by... You know, Mike says, according to the Fourth Amendment, but I don't think Mike believes that right and wrong came into existence with the Fourth Amendment. Like, before the Fourth Amendment was passed, ratified, wasn't there right and wrong the day before? And isn't there proper governmental authority? And is America the only nation in the world where a government could do right or wrong? Because other countries don't have our Constitution. And in fact, we had thousands of years of human history before our Constitution. And we may have thousands of years of human history if our Constitution ever implodes by its own weight. We may have that. And so right and wrong is not defined by what the U.S. Constitution says. When the U.S. Constitution says something that's valid, we should support it, affirm it. When it says something that's invalid, like Article 1, counting most blacks as 3/5 of a person, we should condemn it as being immoral. So the police, governmental authority, comes with the right to follow up on reasonable suspicion of a crime being committed. And so when someone thinks, I've just seen somebody break into my neighbor's home, this is my neighbor's home, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. When someone thinks they've just seen someone break into their neighbor's home, it could really be a criminal. And it could be a rapist who has the wife tied up in the bedroom. I mean, it could be. So the police go in and they're following up on a reasonable suspicion, And they say, well, who are you? So we got Mike back in Pueblo. Mike, welcome back to Bubba Neert Live.
Hey, sorry. Yeah, I lost you on my cell.
All right. No problem.
Listen, to answer your question, because I did hear it, I'm not going to disagree with you there. You're totally right. They have a right because of the nature of the call. My concern is, again, when Americans finally get to a point where they don't care if a policeman stops them on the street and asks them for their papers or comes to their house on a different issue and just demands that they show ID, then we are Nazi Germany.
All right. Okay. So let's talk through that. And that I appreciate that we're refining it, Mike. I appreciate that. The Patriot Act made it more difficult to tell a police officer, I don't want to show you my papers, right?
Right. Do you think that was a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, let's talk through it. I'd rather maybe put a more fine point on it.
Okay.
I think it should not be required that people carry their papers with them. Papers, please. On the other hand, I do not believe as many conservative right-wingers believe that there is a fundamental right to anonymity. I don't think there is a right to anonymity. I think that the government authorities do have an appropriate need to know who is within their jurisdiction. And so do I think that the police should stop everyone on the street and demand your papers, otherwise you're going to be arrested? No. But do I think there is a right to anonymity? I don't think that's true either. So for me, it's a matter of working out the particulars of how the government could exercise its right to know who is within their jurisdiction.
And let's go to the law. And we both live in Colorado. So Colorado state law basically states that if they stop you and they have reason to believe that you have been involved in illegal activity, that is the only time that you actually have, according to Colorado law, this is different from the Supreme Court ruling, but that's the only time you have to show them ID.
Yeah, and I actually think that's reasonable.
Okay, right. Well,
yeah.
That part is reasonable, absolutely. If they think that you are involved in a crime, I agree with you there. But
right.
Again,
it should not. We should not criminalize walking to the park with your wife and kids without your papers.
Right, and I hope we as Christianity will stand firm on that. And I hope we will finally, if it ever does come to that point, and if you've read the Military Commissions Act of 2006, and if you've actually gone and read portions or the entire part of Patriot Act 1 and 2, then we've got real problems. If you've dug into that and you know what that actually says.
Well,
they basically criminalized everything.
Well, Mike, I think you're just exaggerating a little bit.
Okay.
Well,
we can disagree.
No. You don't believe they've criminalized everything. So I'm just saying you're exaggerating a little bit.
Well, if you read the Patriot Act, any misdemeanor can be considered terrorism.
Yeah, but you said they criminalized everything.
Any misdemeanor is classified as terrorism. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah,
as far
okay.
As that, but
all right.
If I encourage people to actually pull that up and read that.
All right.
Because that is not a good piece of legislation. That is a march toward Nazi Germany.
All right. Well, hey, Mike, thank you very much for calling and helping us clarify some of those issues.
And thanks for taking my call, Bob.
Sure thing. Appreciate that. 1-800-8-NYARDS. 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. For example, now I argue and I have for many years on Bob and Yurt Live that there is no inherent right to anonymity. And I noticed that a lot of right-wingers have something in common with left-wingers, that they think there's a right to anonymity. Extremists on both sides. And I don't see that scripturally. I don't see that you have a right to be anonymous. So I favor the fingerprint databases that governments around the world have put together. Well, I favor a comprehensive database that certainly could include fingerprints, but far better, a DNA profile. A DNA profile of every child who's born, every person who is arrested, every person coming through our borders, a DNA profile. So then if there's a sexual assault or if there's a bodily assault at a bar, some guy gets drunk and he assaults the waitress or he hits on the waitress and she tells him he's a jerk and he slaps her in the face. Maybe his hand gives her a bloody lip and some of his skin cells are on her tooth, on her face. And the police can get his DNA and prosecute him. I'm all for it. Comprehensive DNA database. Let's go back to the phones, 800-836-9278 in Broomfield, Colorado. Phil, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
It's going well, sir.
Hey, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but back to Barack Obama.
Yeah.
There's some studies that say, or polls, I guess you want to call them, say that as many as 96% of black Americans voted for him.
I believe that's probably about true.
No, ain't that screwed up? They don't even care what the man stands for. They just
well,
vote for him because he's black.
The black population in America have voted as a monolithic block, 90% or more, for the Democrats for a long, long time. You know, they were Republicans after Lincoln, but now for a long, long time, especially with welfare, great society, all that, they vote Democratic. So now you have a black who's the Democratic nominee, and it's not surprising. I know Christian black leaders who say they're pro-life who voted for Obama.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking about great wickedness. And you know what, Phil? I think it's part of the problem of democracy.
Yeah, could be.
Democracy. You know how, do you know people who root for the Avalanche or the Broncos or uh-huh. the Nuggets?
And no matter what.
Yeah, well, and, right. And it could easily become obsessive.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I know a few people like that.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with right or wrong, but it becomes all-consuming, and politics is the same. Politics is the same. You've got people who will argue some issue, pretending that's the important issue for them. I'll give you an example. Hugh Hewitt is on Salem Radio Network nationwide.
Uh-huh.
He will pretend that partial birth abortion is an important issue for him. He pretends that to get people to vote for a pro-choice Republican. But then I asked him on my show, I said, Hugh, what if Rudy Giuliani gets the nomination? He said, oh, I'd support him. Well, Rudy Giuliani supports every abortion conceivable.
Well, I think part of the problem is with the people in this country is that they don't take the time to go out and research the subject, such as partial birth abortion. If people would go out on the web and
see how evil it is. Yeah, but now Hugh Hewitt.
Yeah, realize if they had any.
But Phil, wait, Phil. No, yeah. I'm about to disprove your point, even though you haven't made it yet.
Okay.
Ostensibly, Hugh Hewitt knows what partial birth abortion is, and he said he would support Rudy Giuliani regardless of his position on abortion. My point is this, that politics is an obsession. It's like rooting, it's like the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's what it's like, including for conservatives, including for conservative Christians. They will advocate the Republican nominee, even if the Republican nominee is a mass murderer, even if he supports homosexual marriage. Even if he's a socialist promoting government health care, the Republican so-called conservative pro-life leaders in the country will support a Republican candidate like that. And I didn't even mention Mitt Romney.
Well, if anyone out there knew that Barack Obama voted for partial birth abortion on at least four different occasions and they had any moral conscience at all and they knew what this involved, all you have to do is go out there and Google it. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting, but Phil, didn't I just prove to you by saying Hugh Hewitt would vote for a politician who supports partial birth abortion?
Yes, you did.
So
I just wonder how we wake America up. How do we get people to realize that?
That's a good question. We tell people that there is a God who made them, that God has revealed right and wrong to us.
Well, people don't care, to be honest about it. I've tried talking to people about that, and they don't want to hear it. And they actually get very offensive about it.
Well, they do, right? If you tell them about Buddha, they don't get upset. If you tell them about Jesus Christ, they get angry.
Well, they get very angry.
So, Phil, that's a sign to us, that's a clue that Christianity is true and Buddhism is false.
Exactly.
Hey, thank you, Phil. May God bless you.
All right, you too, Bob. Thanks.
Let's go to Boulder, Colorado. Sean, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob and Yurt. Nice to talk to you. I listen to you quite a bit. You have a very interesting show. I am a Christian. I have accepted Christ years ago. So I actually recently got away and recently got back into the church and just trying to let God guide my life the way He wants me to.
All right.
I listen to you, but I just wanted to make a comment on that police thing. I am a Black American, and I've worked security along with cops. You know, I'm from back east in Connecticut, New York, where I'm from, and I've worked in different situations. And yeah, for the most part, when you get a call for a possible robbery or something,
right,
cops have to act on that call. And then when they do confront the person, if they find out it's false or whatever, it's a lower, however you want to put it, you know, then they say okay. But if they come upon someone, they have to know who this person is.
I would, Sean, want them to. In 2 weeks later, if they came to my house and they thought I had broken in and I had not, first I'd be thankful.
Yeah.
Whether I'm white, black, Asian, doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But secondly, somebody might break in 2 weeks later to my home, and I want the police to aggressively try to protect my home and its people dwelling in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have had friends of mine in the past who are black and some white, but I've had some black friends who have been harassed by cops. You know, they were literally one guy, not to go into a story, but one friend of mine, he was pulled over 13 times in Darien, Connecticut. And out of the 13, one time they got him because he didn't have a license on him. But, you know.
Yeah, now that's an example, right? That's tragic, and it's a leftover part of racism. But you know what? The whole world has been racist against the whole world.
Exactly. And it's true. You know, the thing about, like I said, I was brought up in the Bible. I was saved, you know, when I was 15, 16. My family, you know, they weren't the greatest, but they weren't bad, but they taught me the word. But anyway, over the years, I got away from it and was in the world, but I eventually got back into the word, you know, like I'm here in Boulder. And a church I go to, it's a great church. It's a really, they preach the word.
Do you want to name the church?
It's a New Day Church.
New Day Church.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Sean? Let me run an idea by you, really for the benefit of others in the audience.
Okay.
Rather than saying I got away from it, it's better to say, because there are people listening, it's better to say I got away from him.
Yes, yeah.
Because it's Jesus Christ that we're talking about.
Exactly, yeah.
And when people say, well, it's not as real to me anymore, it's a lot more difficult for them to say, he's not as real to me anymore, because they know that Jesus Christ is real, that he's their creator.
Exactly. I agree with you, yes. And that's what it was. Yeah.
Hey,
we get away from him, and he's always there for us. We just have to come back to him.
That's absolutely right. Sean, thank you so very much for calling.
Okay. Well, I just want to pray for you and hope you guys there. Sometimes I don't agree with some things.
Yeah.
Think,
hey, when we mess up, Sean, when we mess up, when we mess up, call in and correct me, all right?
Okay.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
I appreciate that. Yes, praise the Lord. Okay, 800-836-9278. You could also call in and order our subscription, Bob and Yurt Live Televised Classics. Let's go to Wheat Ridge. Richard, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
My old friend Bob and Yurt, what's happening?
Well, a lot is happening, Richard.
You know, buddy, how many times have you been arrested?
I've been arrested about 10 times.
How many times have you been falsely accused? How many times people
about
talk?
10 times.
During cops go into a courtroom and they lie.
About 10 times.
Oh, there you go. I mean, cops, they lie all the time. It's part of their training.
Both sides lie all the time. And in our system, we have one of the worst systems in the world.
Oh, I know.
And both sides lie every time. And
yeah, but if you and I lie, we go to jail. A cop lies.
Well, wait a minute now, Richard. They don't arrest people for perjury. I mean, the judges tell the criminals, we want you to lie in court. We want you to lie to me. So they tell everybody, plead not guilty, whether you're a rapist or not. That's how they start.
That's true. So it already starts with a point of corruption.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, Richard, it is great. You know, I recognize Richard's voice. And, Richard, I want to thank you for calling in. It's been some years. Now let's go to Lakewood, Colorado. Tony, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you today?
Well, now, this voice I recognize from church. This is Tony Funderburk, who sings our opening music here on the show.
I'm guilty as charged.
Hi, Tony Funderburk. How are you? What's that song, Do Right and Risk the Consequences?
Yeah, where did that come from?
Tony, that came from an album, a CD, by some Christian musician. Oh,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but I'm thinking it had earlier roots than that, maybe somewhere on your show or something.
That's right. Back when we were doing the TV show in Indiana, you sent us, Tony, I don't think it was on CD. This is before CDs were commonly used. Right? You sent us on audio tape music that we adopted as the intro for the show.
Yeah. Well, it was such a good thing that you were saying every night, you know, do right and risk the consequences. I just thought, well, that would sound good in music.
We got to say that again, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, do right and risk the consequences.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so what's up, Tony Funderburk?
Well, I had a question for him. Maybe I need public rebuking.
Yeah.
You're familiar with Twitter, right? It's one of the social media.
Yeah, techniques. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
Yes.
They're all merging, right? It's going to be called UTwitface.
That might be me.
Well, what's up? What's up about Twitter?
Well, I guess I was a bad boy. I called Obama incompetent and a dork.
Yeah.
And somebody took me to task on that, and they said that maybe that wasn't a really good thing for somebody in the pro-life cause to be...
incompetent and a dork?
Yeah, I thought it was fairly... that was one of the nicest things.
Well, Tony, if you're taking a task, I'd say it's because you went too easy on him. How about evil and a mass murderer? He supports killing innocent children. That's way worse than incompetent.
Well, that was my response.
Good.
I said, would it maybe be better, since he takes a, in every possible way, he takes every stance that he can to be, to stand for his baby-killing ways. So he does that in a public forum. Can't I call him to task on it in a public forum?
Of course. How about his science czar, John Holdren, who wrote in Human Ecology, Problems and Solutions, that the baby is not a baby until it's been socialized.
Oh, yeah, that sounds really logical.
These people are wicked. They're absolutely wicked. But, Tony, you know what? We win because Jesus Christ is our creator, our savior, and he's coming back someday.
That'll be glorious, and until he does, I guess we're here to do some wonderful things for him if we can.
That's right. As we tell people about the truth, then the other side takes casualties, and there is rejoicing in heaven each time someone trusts in Jesus Christ for salvation.
So you don't think my statement was tarnishing the pro-life cause?
Well, you get a pass on it here, Tony.
All right, tarnishing
because it was a little weak. But other than that, no, it's great.
All right.
God bless you, Tony.
God bless you.
That's Tony Funderburk. Come on out Sunday morning, Denver Bible Church, to hear him in Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school. KGov.com.